WTNS Communication Lines gives you 2 hours of local news, weather, sports, and information. WTNS Radio gives you everything you need to know. We are live, we are local, and it all starts with WTNS News.
And charged with leaving the scene of an accident, Troyer was taken to Genesis Hospital, but her injuries were deemed to be non-life-threatening. Other than those three accidents, the Coshocton County Sheriff's Office reports a few more. Jill Quillen of Newcomerstown was traveling on South 2nd Street when she ran a red light, striking a vehicle being operated by a juvenile student driver. Daniel Wiley of West Lafayette was stopped at South 7th and Pine Street when he was struck by Gavin Kesterson of Warsaw. Skyla Untied of Coshocton and Tiffany Selesky, also of Coshocton, collided at the intersection of Chestnut and 16th Street in a non-injury accident. Complaints: deputies responded to a domestic incident at South 6th and Plum Street. Deputies responded to the 2000 block of Cambridge Road on report of vandalism. Deputies responded to the 23,000 block of Airport Road on reports of theft. And deputies and EMS personnel were called to the area of the 600 block of South 5th Street for an overdose. Coshocton County Commissioners are considering a multi-building roofing project for an estimated cost of $271,000. Roofs to be replaced include the county courthouse, the courthouse annex, and the juvenile and probate court. There could be additional costs if unforeseen circumstances require additional replacement materials. The former Hopewell building, which is the future home of the Coshocton Health District, might also be added to those roofing needs. The Ohio State Highway Patrol continues to look into a fatal crash that took place yesterday afternoon in Muskingum County. It happened just after 3:30 as a vehicle was southbound on County Road 6 near Township Road 68. 76-year-old Kenneth Bouillard of McConnellsville crossed the center line and traveled off-road where he struck a tree. He was taken to Genesis Hospital and pronounced dead there at the hospital. Health officials say they're investigating after several people developed a flu-like illness after working closely with pigs that exhibited respiratory symptoms and a fever at a county fair in West Virginia just across the Ohio River. The State Department of Health and Human Resources says the influenza strain was confirmed on at least one human test Tuesday. That sample has been forwarded to the CDC for confirmation. The illness has occurred at the Jackson County Fair, which is just across the Ohio River from Meigs County. Symptoms include a fever, runny nose, sore throat, cough, or congestion, and usually show up 1 to 3 days after exposure to infected animal livestock at an outdoor event. Residents are encouraged to wash hands before and after exposure to animals and avoid taking personal items, food, or drinks into swine barns or any other areas where there are animals present. The White House says President Joe Biden will be signing a multi-billion dollar investment next Tuesday into making semiconductors here in the U.S., including Ohio. Congress passed that CHIPS Act last week, and Intel is awaiting the federal funding before starting the primary construction of its new Licking County plant. To get to this point, Ohio showered the company with $2 billion worth of tax incentives, but Intel threatened to downgrade its Ohio investment unless Congress acted. Intel doesn't expect any money from the CHIPS Act until next year and plans to open its plant in the year 2025. A popular baby bottle manufacturer has issued a recall because of high lead levels in some of its products. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says the markings on the outside of some of Nuke's First Choice glass baby bottles contain lead levels higher than those set by the federal government. About 100 bottles sold in the U.S. are affected. They were designed for newborn to six-month-old babies and sold exclusively on Amazon. Those bottles have white and gray stars on the outside along with the brand name Nuke printed in white. And the winner of a $2,000 scholarship from the Coshocton Foundation has been announced. Taylor Parks of West Lafayette has been awarded the Jones Metal Products Adult Legacy Scholarship. This is a scholarship that goes to adult or non-traditional students within Coshocton County who are attending COTC. A 2017 in Newcomerstown and Buckeye Career Center grad, Parks will be majoring in sonography there. The Jones Metal Award was created in 2013 to honor the 90th anniversary of the company. The winner is chosen by COTC admission staff members. I'm Jeremy Scott, WTNS News.
It is 6 minutes after 9 o'clock, 76 degrees currently in Coshocton. Good morning to you. It is time for the Communication Lines program. I'm your host, Mike Bechtel. We'll be together until 11 o'clock this morning. Very likely we will have some open phone lines towards the end of our program today. After the 10 o'clock news, we'll be hearing about a fundraiser at Clary Gardens. And kicking off our program today here for our first hour, it is a pleasure to welcome to the studio County Administrator Mary Beck and also Coshocton County Commissioner Dane Shryock. And we are going to talk about a wide variety of different topics this morning. Good morning, Mary. Dane, thank you for being here today.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
And, a lot of things going on really all around the community. We talked a little bit off the air about all the positive things that are happening. So what's your general overview, Dane, of the state of Coshocton County right now?
Mike, number one, I want to thank you and WTNS for letting us have this opportunity. As you stated, Dane Shryock, I represent the Board of the County Commissioners this year as the chairman. That board is consisted of Rick Conkle and Gary Fisher. Very positive things happening in Coshocton. I'm excited about what's going on. I think maybe we've turned the tide a little bit in presentation of what this community is looking like and how people perceive it from the outside. And I think we're very excited about that.
Mary?
Yeah, I would agree with all the projects we have going on and working with the city, working with the county engineer, working with everybody, working together. This has become such a positive atmosphere. It's exciting.
Well, we have a wide variety of topics that we're going to discuss here over the next few minutes to illustrate just what you were talking about there. I'd like to start off with something kind of fun, the summer concert series. We've had two concerts. The Court Square has been packed for the Fleetwood Mac tribute band and the Foreigner tribute band. We've been giving a lot of love to the city council and to our town, Coshocton, but commissioners had a hand in it as well.
Yes, Mike, we were approached by the city when they were talking about this concert series, saying they needed electricity out front on Main Street. We'd have electricity post pedestals on 4th Street, but none on Main Street. Said, I don't believe that'll be a problem. We'll get with the electric company and have something installed. So it was a time factor that we were a little concerned with, but Philip Wagner showed up and said, well, there's a little more difficulty than just running the line. Your electricity at the courthouse is maxed out. You will not be able to have any future upgrades inside the building, let alone outside if something's not done. So we received an estimate of roughly $40,000 to correct the electricity issue inside and getting that electric out to Main Street for that concert series. We went ahead and committed to that. Philip Wagner's company got it installed, and after we got back to the office and were talking about it, our office staff said, you know, maybe we need to fill out an application to Coshocton Foundation because this is a community project, and maybe they would be supportive of reimbursing us for the $40,000. And as a result of their efforts of filling out the application and presenting it to the foundation, we were awarded that reimbursement grant of $40,000. So tip your hat to Coshocton Foundation for helping this community out in that project.
And again, a lot of different people and organizations coming together for the summer concert series. I'm sorry, Mary, did you want to add to that?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
We're good.
And so beyond concerts on Main Street, what are some of the other potential uses for that added electric?
Well, right now, the electricity on Main Street is actually used. Some of it is used for the farmers
market
that happens there. This weekend, you've got the Farm First Friday that somebody may need that electric. There's somebody constantly looking for electric source more than just a 110 plug-in. I do want to also talk just briefly. I'm very excited about the turnout for the two first concerts, and this one appears to be like and similar, maybe even bigger. And I think it showcases our community. I do want to touch base on that concert series. We provide the maintenance staff to take care of all the trash, clean up afterwards. We've been very complimentary in the people's attendance of policing themselves in regards to trash. So our maintenance guys really appreciate, you know, that help. So
a lot of others have commented on that as well. If people are using the trash bins, not leaving a mess, and just a minimum of stuff to clean up the night of or the morning after. And Mary, anything you'd like to add to that?
With that being said, we also have another project that we're working on the Court Square, and it's the trees. We've had, you know, some bad storms that have come through, and we already had this plan in the process, working with a tree arborist, I guess you would call him, and he's going to trim and touch every tree in the Court Square, as far as trimming it, getting rid of all the dead. Some trees will have to come down because once we would trim out the dead, there's not anything left. I mean, we don't like to cut down trees on the Court Square, but sometimes you don't have another option or a choice. And so that project is supposed to start on August 15th. So if you see someone over there cutting on the trees, that's what it is.
Okay. And any plans for replacing those trees or planting something new at this point?
We have an abundance of trees there. Sometimes the trees struggle to grow because there's so many bigger trees overshadowing the smaller trees. So we'll wait and see what that looks like after he's done, and then determine how we'll proceed with that.
Okay, so that tree project, what did you say, August the 15th?
August 15th, if the weather permitting.
Okay. All right, and another project that makes a real difference aesthetically here in Coshocton, and that is Skip's Landing. A lot of progress has been made on County Road 1A, an entrance in and out of Coshocton, and for many people, Skip's Landing is the crowning jewel so far. Can you share a little bit about that project and how it came about?
We can. That project actually started after the passing of Mr. Farrell. His wife contacted us and wanted to know if we wanted to purchase that property from her. She wanted it to become something special. So the commissioners thought about it, and they invested in purchasing the property. Now, we had the help of the Port Authority to purchase the property because we went through Jay Hottinger and got $150,000 in capital funds for that project. But we needed to purchase the property before we could get the money. Mm-hmm. So the Port Authority actually purchased the property for us. We used Jay Hottinger's $150,000. We used $50,000 from the Robert Simpson family as a donation, citizen donation. And then, again, the Coshocton Foundation put up $25,000 for us to purchase that. Once we ended up having it, went out to bid in early 2022. And then I believe that William Albert was the one that got the bid. The design and everything was made by the county engineer, Fred Wachtel's office. Josh Kemp, I worked with him. I cannot tell you how wonderful and easy it was to work with them. They took care of everything for us, took care of the bid specifications, took care of everything. We walked in, opened bids, and they took care of it. And it was so nice. So what you see over there now is basically Josh and Fred's design of how they thought that would work. We didn't originally intend to put the boat ramp in. We thought that would be a later project, but the bid came in so low that we thought now's a good time to try to do this. And we still have a lot of work in that area to do. You can probably take off a kayak or canoe, but not any boats probably right now because there's the way there's some cement slabs and stuff in there that we got to work on. And we're still working on that. We plan to get that fixed so that we can use it better. But we thought that would make a substantial benefit to the area, so we went ahead with that. The stone base for the sign was made by Dave Kreidler. The actual design for the Skip's Landing sign was Simple Signs, Mike Gross, and then he utilized Jim Brown at Classic Auto Supply Company to craft it. And it's up. It looks beautiful. Coshocton is blooming. Did the Mike Coble with Coshocton and Bloom put up the
landscaping.
Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to have a lot of activities there. We hope to have, Food Truck Fridays. You know, you can canoe, kayak, tube, picnics. And we hope it's a springboard for the future projects there at the Three Rivers Peninsula.
Well, we've already seen some food stands, food trucks, and there seems to be a considerable amount of activity mm-hmm. there already, even though there's not much there yet.
Yeah.
So so you've got the aesthetics, of course, but something that will be have more of a purpose in the future.
Yeah, and you should know those food stands or those things there. We're not charging them anything to go there. Anybody who wants to set up a little tent or whatever is more than welcome. We don't have a problem with that. We encourage it.
A lot of progress has been made on County Road 1A over the last several years, really. Now, County Road 1A, that is that whole stretch entirely within the county.
County.
It is County Road 1A. Still some work to do. Is there any progress or negotiations or work being done to continue the progress that's being made there?
We're constantly attempting to move that project forward. We right now are in negotiations with two other people or entities to continue to develop that property, but we're not at this point able to go into depth about it. I do want to point out, though, that there's approximately 9,000 vehicles a day go through that intersection. It's the number two gateway to our community, our city. To put that in perspective, according to the county engineer's office, there's about 13,000 vehicles come across the Three Rivers Bridge. There's about 4,500 vehicles come in from the County Road 16 West Lafayette. So County Road 1A is the number two entrance into Coshocton. Additionally, if you're coming here using Google's map, Waze, anything on the that, it's going to route you in that way into Coshocton if you're coming from 36 East, mm-hmm. which I think from our standpoint, image is a lot. First impressions is huge, and anything we can do to light up that area with people saying, hey, that looks nice, that's our goal.
We have a lot of plans. A lot of plans, but funding is the main main goal there.
Always. So what else is on the wish list aesthetically?
We have the Appalachian grant funding, the $500 million that the governor has put in. They told us at the meeting that we went to, that they want us to find something that is unique in our county, that sets us aside from every other county. And there's nothing more unique than the Three Rivers Peninsula mm-hmm. that meets right there at the Three Rivers Bridge. So our goal and what we would like to do is to see that whole area cleaned up and the ability to drive down County Road 1A and look on both sides and see the river, just like you can at Skip's, yeah. only the whole way down through there. That would be wonderful. But whether we can attain that, I don't know. I mean, we have some good thought processes with our County Road 621 multi-purpose path and our Lake Park connector. This is a good segue into that, I guess.
I want to go back to the County Road 1. Yeah. Earlier this year, we contacted AEP and asked them to give us a design on lighting that area up with streetlights. Because when you come in, that was a completely dark area, particularly mm-hmm. in the wintertime. And as a result, they've came in and we've installed 11 or 12.
And we're going to install 5 more here at Skip's.
Streetlights, trying to lighten that area up to make it more safe. And that was one of the other projects on that 1A. So.
Okay. And just that, and a side note, the Three Rivers Bridge, it has had a nice facelift. And between the construction and the efforts of Coshocton in Bloom, a nice entrance to town as well.
It's gorgeous.
We're talking today with County Commissioner, the Chairman of the County Board of Commissioners, Dane Shryock, County Administrator Mary Beck. They're going to be with us until 10 o'clock this morning. We'll be back right after these words.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. But if just one little piggy catches African swine fever, piggies everywhere will be in danger. African swine fever is highly contagious and fatal. It could wipe out America's pig population. That's why the USDA is urging pig producers, farmers, and veterinarians to know the signs of African swine fever. Learn more by searching Protect Our Pigs at USDA.gov.
Hi, this is Mark Lacey with Old Town Realty. Since January 1 of this year, I have sold or placed under contract with qualified buyers over 1,550 acres. Of these transactions, all but one have been with cash buyers. Most of the properties were only on the market for 3 weeks or less. My point is, now is the time to market your property with me. You can reach me at 740-502-3074. And remember, if you think land, Mark Lacey's your man.
Historic downtown Millersburg invites you to Vintage in the Village on Saturday, August 6th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy a full day of antique, repurposed, reused vintage finds all over the burg. You will also find craft demonstrations, live music, 40-plus vendors, 15 artisan shops, 8 local eateries, and food trucks. That's Vintage in the Village in downtown Millersburg on Saturday, August 6th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., rain or shine.
At Papa John's Pizza, get a large specialty pizza for just $15, carry out or delivery. To order, call 740-623-8483 or order online at pjz.com. And remember, Papa John's new location, 439 Cambridge Road.
The Genesis Coshocton Medical Center is hiring. The center will open in early 2023, and they are filling many positions now. The jobs include clinical roles such as nurses, therapists, technicians, paramedics, and EMTs. Other jobs are in environmental services, food and nutrition, patient registration, and customer relations. They offer competitive wages and benefits. Check out their open positions now and keep watching as they add more this year. Go to genesishcs.org/careers and type Coshocton in the keyword field.
Call the Jeff Drennan Ford Sports Service at 623-9867. Hi, I'm Tiffany Johnson. At Jeff Drennan Ford, we have the inventory and financing regardless of your budget or credit history. Stop in and see me for your next vehicle at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Have you been thinking about an upgrade to your kitchen or bathroom? Well, you don't want to miss this sale. The Designer Stone Company in Port Washington is having a remnant sale the entire month of September. Bring your drawings along with measurements and choose your remnant for $25 a square foot. You can get the brand new look you've been waiting for. Follow the Designer Stone Company on Facebook for additional details.
Partly cloudy early this morning, then partly sunny with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Humid with highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain is 70%. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening. Then a showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. Chance of rain is 70%. And for tomorrow, showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Then showers with thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 80s. Chance of rain is 80%. 76 degrees currently in Coshocton. Our guest during hour number one this morning, the chairman of the Coshocton County Board of Commissioners, Dane Shryock, and the county administrator, Mary Beck. We have a lot to cover in a short period of time, so we probably aren't going to be able to take any phone calls this morning. Maybe we'll do that next time. But a little bit more about transportation, Mary. The project, the County Road 621 path, what can you share with us about that project and where in the status?
Okay, so we received funding. We thought we would get about 90%, but we ended up getting 95% of TAP funding for the County Road 621 multipurpose path, which starts at County Road 621, goes past Walmart, goes through Canal Louisville, and comes out at 36. That's phase one. Phase two of that was a Lake Park connector, which connects Lake Park with County Road 621. This year, the commissioners tasked me with applying for grant funding through the capital project, Jay Hottinger and Kevin Miller, to apply for grant funding for that connector, because we thought that would help us utilize match monies. We can use that maybe for match monies. So we received $200,000 from them to do a connector from Lake Park over to County Road 621. We will not be able to, they're thinking it's going to be through the Ohio Department of Natural Resources is where that money is going to come from. And with that, we will be able to apply for those funds or send in the application to get those funds. The earliest would be September of this year. So we probably won't get the funds till after the first of the year, but that would get us started right away on that part of the project.
The multi-purpose path for pedestrians and what kind of vehicles?
It's going to be for pedestrians. If anybody drives that road going to Walmart, the number of wheelchair vehicles, mm-hmm. number of bicycles, people walking is a lot. And there's a lot of heavy truck traffic on that. You know, the county engineer's got a garage there. The state's got a garage there. We've got Coshocton Materials. You've got semis going into Walmart. So it will be available for walking, or multiple use paths with bicycles, same as the
scooters, wheelchairs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And what about the? I don't know if you touched on this already or not. Time frame? When's it expected to be completed?
Well, for the connector, it would be probably next year, mm-hmm. in 2023, barring any difficulties. And then for the 621 multi-purpose path is 2025. Is when that's slated for.
Anything else you'd like to share with us about that, or transportation in general?
The only thing, Mary was talking about the connector from Lake Park to 621. Actually, that connector will be from the Lake Park walk path in the area of we know as the Beer Dock, okay, mm-hmm. going across.
We haven't decided where it's going to be in that peninsula because of you have to worry about the traffic and crossing County Road 1A there. You will have to cross it somewhere to get to the other side to get over there.
So, and there is already a path from the Beer Dock to over to Lake Park and behind Lake Park. What about along County Road 1A?
That's a multiple-use path on the one on the same principle. What you see over on the left-hand side as you're going out of town is a multiple-use path. They're becoming very common across the country right now.
When that was originally installed, there was a series of pylons that divided the path, and they got run over and mashed up. What kind of barrier will there be, if any?
Normally, there's no barrier. Usually, it's a double painted white line, which you're not supposed to cross. And people's very respectful of that.
And a lot of times, too, where it'll cross the road, there will be a flashing sign cautioning people that there will be people walking or riding their bike across the road or riding some vehicle across the road there.
Okay. All right. And also, well, this has to do with transportation as well. Two electric car chargers have been purchased. What's the status of that project?
Well, first of all, I'm not saying that, you know, we're all going to go to electric vehicles. What I think is important from our standpoint, Coshocton receives a lot of tourism dollars and a lot of people traveling through here. And if anybody understands the fact that over 5% of the country right now has electric vehicles, if you do not have some place set up for them to charge, they're going to bypass your community. And most of those people that have the electric vehicles have expendable income. And we're trying to attract as much of that expendable income into this community to help it out and help it grow as we can. And with what Intel was coming into, you know, the western part of Franklin County western part of Licken County, I'm sorry, realizing from talking to those people that a lot of them will be driving electric vehicles, we decided that maybe it would be a good idea, since there was none in Coshocton, to go ahead and install. And we did. One of them's in behind PNC Bank, on 5th Street between Chestnut and Main. And the other two will be installed over in Roscoe at COTC's upper parking lot across from the college. And I think it's just important to realize that is a change in the way we think of mode of transportation, you know, from fossil fuel to electric. It was the same thought process as, hey, we need to at least have the opportunity to attract those vehicles to stop here. And we've had at least one person come from Zanesville, plug in, walked over to one of the local restaurants, ate dinner here, went back, got in their car, and left. Mm-hmm. And from our investigation, it appears that most of these people, if there's electric charging stations, they have a tendency to constantly charge their car, sort of like when you drive by a gas station, you top your car mm-hmm. off. These people top off their battery consistently. So we just wanted to make it attractive. So maybe encourage private businesses to say, hey, we may need to do the same.
So how do they work? Is it like a gas pump? You pull up, stick your credit card in, and plug it in, and that's that?
That's it.
Yeah, you have to have the app on your phone. Mm-hmm. And the app charges you. You sign up with your credit card through the app, and then when you go, you plug in and you get the information in there, and it'll charge.
So the one on 5th Street, the two over at COTC, are there plans for others in the future, or is this something that you would encourage private businesses to explore?
Exactly. And private businesses is what we were trying to mm-hmm. put. And to put this in perspective, I was coming up from the South this past spring, coming up 77, and we were in West Virginia, coming up the interstate, and a number of electric vehicles was passing me on the interstate. I must have been going too slow, by the way. But anyway, I asked my wife, I said, why don't you look up to see where there's charging stations? And Beckley, West Virginia, has 29 electric charging stations, and their population is 16,000 people. Mm-hmm. Charleston, West Virginia, which I didn't realize, has a population of roughly 50,000 people. They had 49 electric charging stations available for these cars going up and down Interstate 77 and their own residents as well. So to put it in perspective, maybe we're behind times a little bit.
Okay, but catching up, no doubt about that. Well, let's go ahead and take another break here. We've got a lot more that we want to touch on before now and 10 o'clock. The new EMS building, this status of the jail, the health department renovation, broadband, and more. We'll be back once again with County Commissioner Dane Shryock and County Administrator Mary Beck right after these words.
Ohio is dotted with abandoned oil and gas wells called orphan wells. The state of Ohio needs your help to locate these wells and manage their risk to the environment. If you think there's an orphan well on your property or in your neighborhood, let the Ohio Department of Natural Resources know. Visit oilandgas.ohiodnr.gov to learn more about orphan wells, to see examples, and report your possible well today. That's oilandgas.ohiodnr.gov. Sponsored by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
For winning lottery numbers any time of day, call 622-CALL for the B-Dry Lottery Line. If your foundation walls are bowed or cracked, call B-Dry today for a free estimate with no obligation.
There is something very special in every engagement ring from G.A. Fisher Diamond Jewelers. It's an unmistakable balance of fine quality, skillful craftsmanship, dazzling diamonds, and imaginative design. It's there in every G.A. Fisher ring. Whether modestly priced or extravagant, we believe an engagement ring should never, ever be ordinary. Always inspiring, and always a superbly crafted work of art. Come see why more couples choose the exceptional design and extraordinary value of G.A. Fisher Diamond Jewelers in historic Roscoe Village. Wouldn't you rather say it came from G.A. Fisher?
Hi, my name is Sarah Berger with the Barnyard Buddies 4-H Club. I would like to invite you to the Holmes County Junior Fair Livestock Auction on Thursday, August 11th and Friday, August 12th, starting at 4:30 p.m. The first night will include broilers, ducks, turkeys, and market hogs. The second night will include rabbits, beef feeders, dairy feeders, beef steers, market lambs, dairy goats, and meat goats. That's the Holmes County Junior Fair Livestock Sale on August 11th and Friday, August 12th. See you there!
Are you drawn to a career in public service that takes you into the great outdoors? ODNR is looking for its next class of natural resources officers, a group set to protect and serve Ohioans.
I've always wanted to work outside and wanted to work with people and be a part of a team as well. Those experiences led me to becoming a natural resource officer.
Find out if you have what it takes. Go to ohiodnr.gov/get hired to apply.
What do you want for dinner?
I want state fair food. Corn dogs, turkey legs, funnel cakes, and deep-fried Buckeyes. Cheese on a stick, deep-fried cookie dough, cream pie.
Taste the flavors of the Ohio State Fair, July 27th through August 7th. OhioStateFair.com.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state. The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
This look at the weather is brought to you by Carol Goff and Associates Real Estate. When you consider a real estate transaction, buying or selling, you deserve personal and professional service. Don't risk your largest asset to just anyone. At Carol Goff and Associates, they are big enough to serve you, but small enough to care. Stop by their office at 404 North 2nd Street in Coshocton or call them at 622-SOLD.
Partly cloudy early this morning, then a partly sunny with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Humid with highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain is 70% for tonight. Showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening. Then a showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. Chance of rain is 70% for tomorrow. Showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Then showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 80s. Chance of rain is 80%. Currently, it is 76 degrees in Coshocton. And we are back once again with County Commissioner Dane Shryock and County Administrator Mary Beck talking about a wide variety of different projects that are either been completed or are underway or are proposed. And this time around, I want to talk a little bit about the Coshocton County Health Department renovation. Now, is that the activity that we see there at 7th and Chestnut?
Yes, the old Hopewell building, mm-hmm. as people know it. Yeah, that's going to be the new Coshocton County Health Department and the Coshocton County Coroner's Office, and have a morgue there as well, which we've never had in Coshocton.
Begs the question, what were the options without a morgue?
As people get larger in society, the old morgues were built into walls, and some of the people were not fitting. So we were putting people into funeral homes, asking funeral homes to hold those until we could get arrangements made. Additionally, a lot of doctors that for years had private practices, owned their own practice, and they were the county coroner. Now a lot of doctors work for corporations. And we just felt it was important that we have our own coroner's office and our own morgue. A lot of counties do, the majority of the counties do that we knew of, but we were lacking that, and just COVID sort of put it in reality of what we really needed. One of the doctors before, since was retired, actually went through our offices and challenged us to find out how many possible bodies we could store in Coshocton County, and it sort of put a positive to say we're very inadequate in that manner. Under high revised code, the county commissioners are required to provide office space to a county health department. However, we have no direct control over the county health department. That's controlled by a DAC board and district advisory council.
Okay.
Sorry. And that's made up of some of the villages, township trustees, and et cetera. But all we are charged with is providing the office space and the funding for that space.
How much renovation does that building require to accommodate all those offices?
So right now what we did, it's a $1.8 million renovation.
Okay.
We will house the health department, maternal and child health, and WIC. The morgue will be there as well with the coroner. Now the coroner and the morgue are separate. They're there, but you don't have access to the morgue or that section of the property through the health department. We're also have in the back portion of that is going to be a community room. That would be like where it used to be they called it the gymnasium, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So we're making that into a community room. This worked very well when we did the COVID clinic. So if we had anything like that again, we would be able to utilize this building very well.
And additionally, where the health department was located at the county services building, the pandemic
brought... It was a wake-up call.
Yeah, it was a wake-up call because we could not bring people into that building because, I mean, right up front, you've got the election board, you've got the OSU extension,
soil and water.
So now you're bringing infected people into a building where there's other people, and particularly trying to provide safe elections was difficult, and it sort of, like Mary said, gave us a wake-up call. Hey, we need to relocate what we're doing here, rethink what we're doing.
Where did the $1.8 million come from?
That came from us.
Mm-hmm.
We're bonding that. Our bonding rating has been very, very well. We basically owe nothing to anybody. So this will be the first time in quite some time that we have a bond payment to make.
Tangential question along those lines. How is the health of the county budget?
We're really fairly healthy at this point. Recently, we had a little more than a $5 million anticipated carryover at the end of this coming year as projected number. However, what people need to understand is property tax settlement doesn't come in until the end of March or April. So we're paying all our bills for three months, and we need to have that cash and that checkbook before we get a lot of our money. Now, we get some of it through sales tax, but we need to have that carryover. So that $5 million is just not like, oh, well, you got five extra million dollars, if you understand that.
Okay, but generally speaking, healthy budget.
Right now, we feel very, very good, very fortunate.
Okay, and the renovation of the health department building, we had the story just a couple of weeks ago, and it sounds like there's pretty serious proposals of a possible merger. I know that the idea has been kicked around for a long time of a possible merger between the city and the county health department. What can you share with us about that proposal, and what role does the county commissioners have in it?
Really, we have very limited or no role in that. That merger is between the city of Coshocton and the DAC. All we're doing is providing office space for the county health department. And we don't have to sign off on any of those permits,
agreements,
contracts. That's strictly between the District Advisory Council and the city of Coshocton. I have heard that it's positive, and it appears that it's moving forward. And I think it will be good for the community if it does.
It's supposed to be effective, we've been told, January 1st.
Okay.
But that's all we know.
Okay. All right. So we'll leave it at that. And we'll go ahead and take another break here. Stay on schedule. We'll be back once again with County Commissioner Dane Shryock and County Administrator Mary Beck right after these words.
Thousands of sunflowers are blooming this weekend in Coshocton. The Coshocton Sunflower Festival starts this Saturday, August 6th, with 11 days to choose from through August 21st. Each day offers a unique experience, from the weekends with live music, food trucks, craft vendors, and a beer and wine garden, to the quiet weekdays where you can explore the flowers and get perfect pictures. The festival kicks off on Saturday with Sippin' on Sunshine, a wine and beer tasting in the flowers. Reserve your discounted tickets at CoshoctonSunflowerFestival.com. Tickets are limited by day and time, so make your plans now. The festival takes place at the Coshocton KOA Campground on County Road 10 in Coshocton.
Selecting a memorial for a loved one can be a personal and emotional experience for family members. Choosing a monument from Milligan Memorials allows you to work directly with the artists and craftsmen who will create your memorial. This is Tim Milligan, and I'm proud of our family's 107-year tradition of providing quality memorials in Coshocton and surrounding areas. We specialize in custom monument designs and handcrafted diamond etchings, from the simple to the very complex. Stop by Milligan Memorials at 1132 Cemetery Drive and let our family help yours.
Call Milligan Memorials at 622-5833.
There's fun for the whole family at the Holmes County Fair at Harvest Ridge, August 8th through the 13th. General admission is $6, $5 for seniors every day, and kids 10 and under are always admitted free. All of your favorite grandstand events, free musical entertainment at the CSB stage on the green, free parking, and so much more. Come to the Holmes County Fair, August 8th through the 13th in Middlesbrough, and enjoy all of the Junior Fair livestock shows. For details about their special admission price of $3, go to HolmesCountyFair.com or like them on Facebook.
Have you ever wanted to sit in the seat of a huge combine, or wanted to look out the windshield of a large tractor and pretend that you were operating that machine? Well, now is your chance. You can even talk to the owner of one of those machines and find out what it's really like to be in that seat. This is Nate McNeil, and I invite you to join us for First Farm Friday on August 5th from 5 to 7 p.m. on Main Street. It will be filled with machinery, animals, and other displays. Kids will have a chance to complete a stamp card to get a cup of Witt's ice cream, and if his or her name is drawn, to win a pass to the Coshocton County Fair. Hope to see you there.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Coshocton Regional Medical Center would like to thank all the community partners that sponsored this year's Fill the Backpack project. Platinum sponsors include American Electric Power, Cleveland Cliffs, Coshocton Church of the Nazarene, Coshocton Elks, Coshocton Walmart, COTC, Durbin Tire Service, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Kiwanis of Coshocton, McWayne Ductal, MVHC, Roscoe United Methodist Church, Wendy's of Coshocton, Willowbrook Consulting. Gold sponsors include B&M Excavating, the Coshocton Beacon, Coshocton County Coordinated Transportation, Coshocton Board of DD, Fanatics, Grace United Methodist Church, Given Dawson Paisley Funeral Home, Hossaman Marketing, Jones Metal, Ravens Glen, Coshocton Rotary, Three Rivers Energy, West Lafayette Lions Club, and in memory of Randy L. Simmons. We would also like to thank the additional businesses and community members that have donated, and a special thanks to our volunteers that make this project possible. Thanks to your support, every elementary student in Coshocton County will receive a backpack and school supplies this coming school year. Coshocton Regional Medical Center, where care matters most.
Are you in the market for some new floor covering? Well, Fisher Decorating Center has just what you need with prices you can afford. Hi, it's Kenzie again. And no, my dad has not changed the name to Kenzie's Carpets yet. But he has got some great deals on carpet, vinyl, and laminate flooring. Not to mention his huge selection of remnants that are always priced to move. So stop in today. That's Fisher Decorating Center, helping you make your house a home since 1946.
Partly cloudy early this morning, then a partly sunny with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Humid with highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain is 70%. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening. Then the showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. Chance of rain, 70%. And tomorrow, showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Then showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 80s. Chance of rain is 80%. Currently, it is 76 degrees in Coshocton. And we are back once again with Commissioner Dane Shryock and County Administrator Mary Beck and a few other things. Well, a lot going on, isn't there? You guys have, you folks have been busy at the commissioner's office. Another project that we want to make sure that we chat about this morning, and that's the new EMS facility.
Yes.
Mary?
We bid out the EMS facility. The project came in at about $4,350,000. With that being said, we received grant funding through the CARES Act and the Ohio Department of Development for almost $2 million for that one. So it's almost half paid for. So we can't not do the project because it's going to be a great project. We are in desperate need of a new EMS building here in Coshocton. And again, the COVID pandemic has really shown us where they were. They were stacked on top of each other. We had to actually rent another place to try to separate them because of the sleeping arrangements, and there's so many in a room with bunk beds and stuff, and it just didn't work. So we're hoping that later this month we will break ground with that project, and it'll be completed, barring any problems, by the late 2023 or early 2024 is what we're hoping.
And how much of an improvement will it be over the current as far as square footage, room to for vehicles, lodging, et cetera?
Go ahead, Nate.
The building itself is designed specifically as an EMS building. The storage of the vehicles, being able to get them in and out, will be a tremendous improvement. Where they're at now, actually, they're stacked in front of each other. Number two, the location, we had to dig down underneath the door in order to be able to back a vehicle down. So now it goes down a little bit as it's backing in, and then comes back up because it couldn't clear the stuff on top of the roof of the squads. That the building they're at. Number two, in the sleeping arrangements, we actually had people, a lot of these people are on 24-hour shifts. Sleeping in recliners because there was not enough beds. They were stacked all in the same room. So as Mary was talking about the pandemic, if one person got sick, everybody there got the possibility of getting sick. Here, there's some separation. Additionally, there will be decontamination of squad. There will be a bay set up to be able to handle that decontamination. I can't say that word this morning.
Decontamination.
Decontamination of the squads. And it'd just be a tremendous improvement.
Do you know the EMS building on Chestnut Street? Do you know what that building was before? What was it originally?
Originally, I knew it as a Pontiac.
Okay, car dealership.
Car dealership, yeah. Pontiac Garage. Yep.
Okay. All right. Anything else about that before we move on to our next topic here, Mary? Okay. Let's see. We the new jail. What is the status of the new Justice Center?
The Justice Center right now, as everyone realizes, we're waiting on numbers. Hopefully soon, and when I'm talking soon, I hope in the next couple weeks, we have a preliminary numbers from all the subs going through the construction manager at risk. That's how we're building this building. Most of your schools and larger government buildings now are being built what's called a construction manager at risk. And we should have some numbers there. Initially, they're talking about groundbreaking late this winter. And one of the questions that was proposed to the company was, you can break ground in the wintertime? Oh, yeah, we can do a lot of work in the middle of winter. So that's where we're at right now. We do have $10.1 million that was given to us by the High Department of Corrections. Everybody remembers that the governor came here and presented that check on the courthouse steps here earlier this year. And additionally, we sold $4 million worth of property at the hydrological station to go toward this process. And then from the High Department of Development, our office staff again filled out some applications and pushed some buttons to see if we could get some money. And Mary, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we utilize CDC of Ohio, which is we go through the Ohio Department of Development to do our CDBG grants, which are CHIP funding and those type of grants. And we worked with them to come up with, I think we applied for over $10 million in grant funding. They gave us 3.1, which we were ecstatic about because they had never given out that much money for a grant for this. Same as with EMS. We did it. We kind of thought outside the box and how it applied and why we had to make some changes to the plans for the Justice Center as well as the EMS. We had to make changes to those so that it would help with if there was COVID and separating the clientele and separating the employees. And we used a lot of creative thinking, and they agreed with us. And we were really happy to hear that because I think we're unique in this. I think we're about the only county in the state that got this.
And with that additional funding beyond the sales tax, what is the estimated length of when will it be paid for?
We had to, when we did the resolution for the bonding and the resolution, I'm sorry, not the bonding, the resolution for the sales tax, we promised the citizens that it would be paid off in 25 years. Mm-hmm. Our hope is that it is paid off before that because of all the grant funding we got. Now, when those estimates come back with the cost of all the construction and everything that's gone up so much, we're anticipating that the cost of our Justice Center is going to increase. We don't know what it will be, but we're anticipating that it's going to go up. So we're hoping still we'll be able to hit that 25-year mark.
Or less.
Or less. We're hoping less.
We have about $17 million in our pocket of that building cost right now, which is huge. I mean, that's a lot of money that was given to us.
And the original estimate was for about $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know.
Now, when the levy was proposed, we were all under the belief that it's not going to apply to automobiles and boats. What resolution was reached, or is that resolution simply that we got to live with it?
Right now, I believe your latter statement is correct. We have to live with it. All the attorneys that give us advice on this matter and other agencies said that sales tax on these automobiles, boats, motorhomes did not apply. The information we received from the county prosecutor, our association, all believe that. Since then, it went to the High Department of Taxation. They said, no, that's not correct because it's a use tax on the back end, picks it up, and it wasn't corrected in the original language on the bill that was passed to make this happen. We since have hired a firm, large attorney firm in Columbus, to look at this to see if we may have misinterpreted. They put three attorneys on it, and they determined that we were, in their opinion, correct. However, the High Department of Taxation has not changed their stance on this matter.
Okay, so it's going to be there. It's going to be taxed on vehicles. You did look into it. You hired attorneys, but there's no further action at this point.
Correct.
We submitted something to the Ohio Department of Taxation, stating their belief in this, and that goes up through a chain, and it's still there, and we've not heard really anything back at all from them, which they said that pretty much means it's going to stay the way it is.
We do need to get to one more break before the top of the hour. Anything else about the new Justice Center that you'd like to touch on before we do that?
No.
All right. Well, we're going to come back and talk about the broadband, and that is a big, much-needed project here in Coshocton County, and one that was, again, highlighted and spotlighted by COVID. We'll be back right after this.
Are you looking for a fulfilling career with great benefits? At Kraft Heinz Coshocton, you can be part of making some of America's favorite and most iconic brands. They're hosting open interviews on Sunday, August 7th from 5 to 7 p.m. at their factory location at 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. That's 1660 South 2nd Street. Stop by, grab a box of Kraft mac and cheese, and offers will be made on the spot. They're currently offering pay starting at $20.60 per hour for second shift. If you're ready to make the bacon and bring it home too, come see them on Sunday, August 7th from 5 to 7 p.m.
Morning, noon, and bite. It's buy one, get one for a dollar at McDonald's. Choose from a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage McGriddles, and hash browns. For lunch, enjoy a McDouble, McChicken, six-piece chicken McNuggets, and more. Buy one, get one for a dollar. You can get two of the same item or mix and match them. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
This is the meat man, Gary Collins from Collins Meat and Food Market. It's the first of the month. If you're looking for the best quality steak or want something cut just the way you like it, come see me. I've been cutting meat in town for the last 48 years. Our cases are full of fresh-cut ribeyes, New York strips, T-bones, porterhouse, pork chops, fillets. If you're looking for the most economical way to buy meat, try one of my 19 economy meat bundles, ranging from $19.95 to $179.95. To place orders, stop in or call 622-4625. Mention this ad on the radio and get free freezer wrap on any one of my 19 economy meat bundles. And don't forget about our great chopped sirloin patties. Come in and see us at Collins Meat and Food Market, where you can't beat our deli meat prices. Enjoy the weekend, and remember, it's hot, but keep smiling.
Gary gladly accepts the Ohio Direction Card and delivers free within the city limits. It is 9:57, and one more topic that we want to make sure that we discuss today with Commissioner Shryock and County Administrator Mary Beck. Might take us a little longer than 3 or 4 minutes, but we want to make sure we give it its just due, and that is the broadband project here in Coshocton County. It was a big one. Can we start out, Dane, Mary, with a little history into how it came about to begin with?
go ahead.
We received a little over $7 million from the federal ARPA funds that could be designated to be used for broadband. And as a result, we committed $5 million of that dollars to the broadband project in Coshocton County. Recognizing the fact that COVID really focused on the lack of broadband for children in schools when they were shut down, people working from home. We were aware of it, but we did not have the funding to help correct it. I will say right off the bat, this is not a solution for everybody. $5 million will cover a number of people, but it's not going to cover everybody. And to put that in perspective, to hardwire or run fiber to everyone in Coshocton County that does not have it, the estimate coming out of a broadband commission is going to take $82 million, and we don't have that. So we're in the process. We took bids for this project. A company known as OTT won that award, and there was going to use, and I may have these numbers reversed, 10 existing towers and build 11 new towers or vice versa, and put the latest technology in fixed wireless out there. The presently, the Mill Creek Tower is up and running, and it's hot. There's people hooked up to it. I will say there is a number of people that it could reach that have yet to reach out to it, to get hooked up to it. It's got some tremendous speed available to it. Hopefully, as people, children start to go back to school and parents realize that, hey, wait a minute, I can get hooked to this Mill Creek Tower. We just had a meeting this morning on it, and we're shown some numbers of people that it was available to that were not taking advantage of it, that had no internet. Additionally, right now, there is climbing companies in Coshocton that are climbing five more towers. putting stuff on that hopefully in the next week or two will be available to start being hooked up to those towers. And I believe originally they thought they could reach 9,000 homes and about 15,000 underserved or not served customers.
In terms of percentages, if you're able to do that, since before the project started up through completion, what percentage of broadband availability has changed? In other words, how many people didn't have it before, percentage didn't have it before, and how many people will have access to it after?
To answer that, I believe we were covered about 40% of our population have broadband, 60% did not, and I may be off that number a little bit. I do not have the number to tell you what that percentage will be. All I can tell you is their original proposal was 9,000 additional houses or...
Okay. Well, you'd mentioned that this is not a panacea for everybody. It's, you know, there's some that won't have access. Am I understanding that correctly still?
That is true.
Okay.
They can't, depending on where you are, there are some spots because we are very challenged in our hills and valleys,
yeah.
And the topography is very challenging here. So there are going to be some people that are down in some valleys that we can't get to. But with that being said, there might be solutions for, what do they call them, hotspots? Is
mm-hmm.
that what they're, so you can get some kind of a small tower that you can hit it mm-hmm. then, you know, if you put it up. But that's still to be determined.
There is the possibility of somebody having a TV tower, as we used to know it, on a hill behind their house. May help them reach a hotspot or help them get internet. But I think it's more important to try to realize that this technology is out there. It's being used all over the country. And, again, we're just hoping that people start to take advantage of it and they can reach out online to OTT, sign up to see if they're available, see if it can be reached to them as the towers come on. They'll have somebody contact them back. So we encourage people to get to the OTT website and see what can help them.
Okay. Now, a definition of broadband, if there's anybody that's confused, what does that mean exactly? I live in town, for example, and have cable. That's considered broadband?
That is.
Okay.
And this is considered broadband. It's fixed wireless, meaning somewhere there on one of these towers or multiple of these towers will be a fixed wireless or fixed wired connection of fiber, a high-speed fiber line. And from that, then they send out, I'll call them radio signals for generic terms, mm-hmm. to the other towers. And then from those towers, that signal is shot out to somebody's house. And this system is designed off these towers to handle thousands of houses off of one tower. This type of technology was developed for large cities and reaching multiple people. So we're excited. Again, I just want to reiterate that it's not going to help everyone. And from day one, we've tried to say that. Now, we just hope we can help as many as we can with the funds we have available.
Well, anything else you'd like to share with us about broadband? Or anything else this morning? I want to thank you both for being with us. So we'll do this again sometime in the not-too-distant future. Any closing words or anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we wrap up today?
Want to thank you for having us here. I think it's important for people to realize that we're trying to move Coshocton forward. We're doing everything we can. We have a lot of people in this community working together with elected officials and office staffs and doing everything we can to try to better this community.
And we're very excited about the direction we're moving.
All right, very good. Thanks again. That is Coshocton County Commissioner Dane Shryock, County Administrator Mary Beck. We have some guests who will be joining us here in a few moments after the news from the AP. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It's 5 minutes after 10. We'll be back right after this.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. American basketball star Brittany Griner spoke to a Russian court today before her sentencing on a drug possession charge. Prosecutors asked for 9.5 years in prison.
I understand everything that's being said against me, the charges that are against me, and that is why I pled guilty. But I had no intent to break any Russian laws.
Her lawyer argued the Griner brought vape cartridges with cannabis oil to Russia inadvertently and only used cannabis to treat her pain from injuries sustained in her career. The lawyer said she used it only in Arizona, where medical marijuana is legal. It's payback for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan earlier this week. China, which claims Taiwan as its territory, is conducting live-fire military drills in the waters around Taiwan. The AP's Charles de Ledesma.
China says it has conducted precision missile strikes in the Taiwan Strait as part of military exercises by its Navy, Air Force, and other departments in six zones surrounding the island. The drills have been prompted by a visit to the island by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi this week. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
6,000 more Americans applied for unemployment last week. The number is continuing to rise, though the labor market remains one of the strongest parts of the economy. The McKinney Fire in Northern California near the Oregon border is 10% contained. Crews are making progress against it, say officials. About 1,300 residents are still under evacuation orders. Dangerously hot weather in some parts of the nation today, says the National Weather Service. High temperatures are likely in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic, it says. Heat advisories stretch from Boston to Washington, D.C. This is AP News. We expect to get Elon Musk's response to the Twitter lawsuit this week. His response to the lawsuit will be made public this week. The AP's Mike Gracia has this story.
Elon Musk's response to Twitter's lawsuit over his attempt to pull out of a $44 billion offer to buy the social media company will be filed publicly by Friday. During a teleconference Wednesday, Chancellor Kathleen St. Jude McCormick directed the public filing be docketed by 5 p.m. Friday. Lawyers representing Musk wanted to file a public version of their answer and counterclaims in Delaware court Wednesday, but Twitter's attorney said they needed more time to review and possibly redact internal information in Musk's sealed filing. Musk, the world's richest man, agreed to buy Twitter in April and take it private. But in July, Musk indicated he wanted to back out of the deal, saying Twitter had failed to provide him with enough information about fake accounts on its service. I'm Mike Gracia.
And I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
It is 8 minutes after 10 o'clock, 76 degrees currently in Coshocton. We're going to have some open phone lines here in just a little bit. If you want to look back on the many topics that we discussed with Commissioner Shryock and Mary Beck, we can do that. A lot of progress, a lot of things happening here in Coshocton and Coshocton County, and a lot of things to do this summer as well. It'll be the final concert of the summer concert series coming up tomorrow evening at the Court Square when Ernest comes to town. And Ernest, a big deal in the realm of country music. And if that's not enough music for you, you might want to head on out for a fundraiser to the Boathouse Tavern this weekend. We have here in the studio with us representing Clary Gardens, Grace Cullison, and Bill Given here with us as well. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning, Mike.
And what's your affiliation then with Clary Gardens?
So I've been in two summer shows the past 2 years, Into the Woods and Godspell 2012, which was put on by Rogue Elephant Productions that took place at the Gardens. And then I also volunteered a little bit last year. So throughout my involvement at the Gardens, I realized how much they do for the community with all of their programs that are free and open to the public. So I thought, what better cause to support?
Okay, so you're just helping them out. You have a passion for Clary Gardens. How did Godspell go this summer?
It went super well. I had a lot of fun.
Okay, and so tell us about the fundraiser that is coming up this Sunday.
So this Sunday, there's going to be a big concert, and it's going to be at the Boathouse Tavern, like you said, from 12:30 to 6 o'clock. There's going to be a really good lineup. There's going to be some school-age performers like Cora McMullen and Bryson Darr, myself, Kensington McMasters, Madeline Kaiser, and Paige Nicely. And then there's a graduate, Julia Grimmett, And then there's a lot of adults that are going to be performing, and you probably know a few of them or have heard them. So, of course, we have Bill Given, who will be performing, Brad Fuller, Joe Collison, John Zing, Kyle McMullen, Larry Durbin, Matt Shannon, and Steve Shaw.
A whole afternoon of music.
Yeah.
Okay. And so how are you going to raise money? How do you raise money doing this? You need to get tickets ahead of time?
No, it is free admission, but there will be a donation jar that you can feel free to put as much money as you want, which will go straight to Clare Gardens.
Are the dollars, the funds that are raised at this fundraiser, are they earmarked for anything in particular?
Not necessarily. So it's just going to go to them. But Jandy Adams, who I've been talking to, had an idea to maybe get a sun sale, which would help with the theater. And there, it would provide shade for the shows and maybe anything they have down at the amphitheater. So whatever they put their money towards, I know will be amazing. So I'm not worried about it.
In addition to the amphitheater and the shelter, what are some of your favorite things about Clary Gardens? Why do you like it? Why do you have such a passion for it?
So when I volunteered to help with the kids program, and it was really cool because they did all types of things. Like, of course, they did hikes throughout the gardens, and they did crafts and projects, but it was just everything. They taught about plants. They taught about Coshocton history. It was just so cool for me, and I was like, yes, this needs to be supported. And, of course, their new pavilion is just beautiful, so people should definitely come see that. And they're definitely going to have a new pond coming, I've heard, so that's something to check out.
Okay. And so in addition to the menu, is there anything else going on? Can you come out and order off the menu? How does that work?
So upstairs on the normal boathouse, there will be a normal menu. But downstairs, Dave and Sharon Tatra, who run the boathouse, they're going to put a grill down there with hot dogs and hamburgers, and there will be a full bar. And then there's also going to be some water out so people can get it, and all drinks are available. So, yeah, it'll be really fun.
Enjoy a full day of music, a garden of music, a concert at the Boathouse Tavern. That's 51 Pine Street, Coshocton, this Sunday afternoon from 12:30 until about 6 p.m. Food and drinks will be available for purchase. And you can put a few dollars in the coffee can to help support Clary Gardens. And Bill Given here in the studio with us as well. And good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Mike.
And Bill, you're a member of the Half Moon Band?
I am. I'm actually going to be performing with two of our bands. The Half Moon Band is comprised of John Zing and Joe Collison and Steve Shaw and myself. And we played for years and years. And then
how many years?
Oh, my word.
It's been a lot.
Well, with Steve and John and I, you go 30? Back to 1964.
Oh, okay.
And so we were in junior high, and we played all through junior high and high school. And some of the listeners out there will remember, you know, hearing us play at the youth center and as kids. And we continued through Ohio State to play together. And then after college, things, life gets busy, and we didn't do much music together. And then
it is the same lineup back in 1964.
Pretty much.
Okay.
And then in the mid to late 90s, Steve and John were approached to do a little church thing, and they said, well, let's see if we can get Bill to come on board
together.
And that's kind of what we did. And so then it worked out pretty nice, and we continued to play until about 8 or 10 years ago, and I think it was 8 years that we disbanded. And then I got picked up by a mutual friend of ours, Brad Fuller, and then Brad was putting together Roscoe Transit Authority. So I was unemployed along with Steve for about 10 days, and then we got into the Roscoe Transit Authority. And then Larry Durbin came in and joined us. And sometimes it's difficult when you have large groups of in a band, you know, 6, 7, 8 people that are busy to get together to work out music and to practice and things. So Larry and Steve and I did a little satellite spinoff and came out with Three Rivers Trio. And the three of us have been playing around the area now for 5 or 6 years. So when Grace came up with this idea for the Garden of Music, which is just really wonderful, I think all of the entertainers, and you know, just to throw it out there, you know, there's going to be guitars and PA set up, and you know, anybody wants to come down and join us in, it's going to be kind of real laid back and you know, not necessarily an open night Mike Night, but it would be something similar to that, I think. And so, you know, come down and enjoy and have a wonderful afternoon of music and benefit Clary Gardens. Now, when Grace put all of this together, she did not realize that I'm involved with Clary Gardens as a board member and chairman of the board. And so it was wonderful when I found out that this was going to be where the proceeds were directed. And if I could just expand for just a moment, sure, on Clary Gardens, give a little plug. We've got Jandy Adams, who's wonderful. We've got a wonderful board of directors. And we're going through this phase. So we're completing phase one of a tremendous renovation at and additions at Clary Gardens. There is just a phenomenal landscape out there to work with, a natural landscape, and we're putting in a waterfall and ponds and walkways that are handicapped accessible. Here in the next few months, we'll have a lot of that completed, and hopefully if we can raise enough money into the future to continue to do phase two. There's around 15 acres out there where you can walk, and we want to make it accessible to people as much as we can. And it is absolutely breathtaking. So to put a plug in for Clary Gardens, if you haven't been out in the last few weeks, make a trip out 541, just go past Jillian's Beauty Shop, maybe a couple hundred yards, and you turn right and go up the hill to Clary Gardens, and it'll just take your breath away. So we're really looking forward to it. And so Half Moon will be getting back together, playing for a little while, 3RT, we got Brad Fuller, we've got Matt Shannon, holy smokes, I mean, this is just going to be a lot of fun.
All right, and you guys survived the British invasion.
Yeah, so, we did.
All right, did. So for those that may not be familiar or casually familiar with those names, what kind of music can we expect to hear?
Well, I think with probably all of us, we play kind of the same genre of music, classic rock and roll. So you're going to hear Beatles, and you're going to hear the Mavericks, and you're going to hear Tom Petty, and maybe the Rolling Stones.
A lot of songs most people are familiar with.
I guarantee that most of the people that will be there will know all the words to the songs that we're singing. So it will be a lot of fun. And Grace is going to perform with our bands, and we're just going to have a wonderful time.
Okay. What are you going to be singing, Grace?
So with their band, I'm going to be singing Blue Bayou, which is originally Roy Orbison, so I'm super excited for that. And then I'll also be singing Killing Me Softly with his song with Matt Shannon, so very excited for that.
Okay. Well, you got to have some chops for both of those songs, especially Blue Bayou. Roy Orbison, he covered about 7 octaves, I think.
He did.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break here. We'll come back one more time and share a little bit more about what all is going to happen this Sunday at the Boathouse Tavern. It's called A Garden of Music. Concert. It is a fundraiser for Clary Gardens. It's going to be a lot of fun as well. Come on out and enjoy the music. Have a bite to eat. We'll be back right after these words.
A complete, detailed scouting report from an expert can be the key to victory. That's just what great independent insurance agents deliver. They scout insurance companies for you and recommend winners like Grange.
Let the Jacobs Bannerman Agency show you how Grange's strong value and fast claims service delivers league-leading coverage. Call us at the Jacobs Vanman Agency at 622-1796 or visit our website at jacobsvanman.com.
Products not available in all states.
For winning lottery numbers any time of day, call 622-CALL for the B-Dry Lottery Line. If your foundation walls are bowed or cracked, call B-Dry today for a free estimate with no obligation.
At Papa John's Pizza, get a large specialty pizza for just $15, carry out or delivery. To order, call 740-623-8483 or order online at pjz.com. And remember, Papa John's new location, 439 Cambridge Road.
Call the Jeff Drennan Ford Sports Service at 623-9867. Hi, I'm Jamie Rice. At Jeff Drennan Ford, we have the inventory and the financing regardless of your budget or credit history. Stop in and see me for your next vehicle at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
I'm picking up good vibrations.
Hey there, this is Chris from The Glass House. If you've never been to The Glass House, stop by and check us out. We have a knowledgeable and friendly staff ready to help. We have the area's largest selection of tattoo supplies, horror collectibles, and Delta 8 products. So stop by The Glass House today at 523 Main Street and pick up some good vibes.
Good vibrations.
Partly sunny today. Showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. They might pop up all over the place. Humid with highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain is 70%. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening, then showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. Chance of rain is 70%. And then for tomorrow, we can expect showers with a chance of thunderstorms in the morning, and showers with thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 80s. Chance of rain is 80%. Currently, it is 83 degrees in Coshocton, so it is warming up very quickly. We are back once again with Grace Cullison and Bill Given, and they are here representing Clary Gardens, fundraiser for Clary Gardens this Sunday. Everyone is invited to come on out and enjoy all the music. Is it going to be indoors or outdoors?
It's going to be indoors, but there is optional outdoor seating because there's some tables out there. And if you want to bring a lawn chair to listen outside too, well, you're welcome to.
Okay. So, but it's going to be indoors, so you don't need to worry about the weather. It'll be rain or shine. And Bill shared a little bit about his bands and the people we know that we're playing classic rock familiar songs, but it's not all that classic rock, is it?
No, it's not. So all of their bands are going to be in the second half. So for the first part, there's a lot of different genres. So there's a song from The Greatest Showman. There's a few theater songs, like musical theater. And then there's a Disney song. My friend and I, Paige Nicely and I, we're going to be doing something from Oh Brother, Wherefore Art Thou, which is a trio called Didn't Leave Nobody But the Baby. So that's going to be different from everything else, definitely. And then one of our artists, Julia Grimmett, she just graduated from Ridgewood. She's going to be doing a few cover songs, but she's also going to be doing her own original music. So I'm very excited to hear that.
All right. A full day of music. You can spend all afternoon, all 6.5 5.5 hours at the Boathouse Tavern, and I would imagine that a lot of people had to come together to make this all happen, Grace.
Yes, there was a lot of communication and calling and texting, but it was definitely all worth it.
All right. Any of those folks you'd like to acknowledge?
So, firstly, I would like to acknowledge my aunt, Elizabeth De Sousa Collison. She has been basically a mentor throughout this whole process and a huge part of the decorations and has helped me make a lot of big decisions. Along with that, just as important, my parents. They have definitely been my biggest supporters and have taken me everywhere and helped me hang posters and things like that. And honestly, they've always just been big supporters of me because, you know, I'm their daughter. and then I'd like to thank Steve Shaw, Bill Given, and John Zing for providing the sound system, which was really helpful to me and took away a lot of stress. And, of course, all the musicians for donating their time. And then lastly, Sharon and Dave Tatro, because they provided the boathouse at such an affordable cost that helped me make this event so much better because I had more funds to spend elsewhere. So that was amazing.
Okay. So, again, a lot of people coming together. And it's all to promote Clary Gardens and to help with the projects that they are working on there so they can continue to provide a wonderful, beautiful spot here in Coshocton County. Grace, Bill, what else would you like to touch on before we wrap up today?
I'm not sure if there's anything else. I think we've covered most of it.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us, and I hope you get a packed house out there at the Boathouse Tavern this Sunday for people to come out and support Clary Gardens.
Thanks for having us.
Yes,
all right.
Thank you. This
is Bill Given and Grace Cullison. It is 10:24. We have open phone lines for the remainder of our morning, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. I'll be back right after this.
MVHC Urgent Care provides health care without the wait. Their locations offer extended hours and are fully equipped with X-ray and lab services. You do not have to be an MVHC patient to utilize their urgent care services. Visit one of their convenient locations in Coshocton for all of your urgent health care needs.
Thousands of sunflowers are blooming this weekend in Coshocton. The Coshocton Sunflower Festival starts this Saturday, August 6th, with 11 days to choose from through August 21st. Each day offers a unique experience from the weekends with live music, food trucks, craft vendors, and a beer and wine garden to the quiet weekdays where you can explore the flowers and get perfect pictures. The festival kicks off on Saturday with Sippin' on Sunshine, a wine and beer tasting in the flowers. Reserve your discounted tickets at CoshoctonSunflowerFestival.com. Tickets are limited by day and time, so make your plans now. The festival takes place at the Coshocton KOA Campground on County Road 10 in Coshocton.
Keep your vehicle on the road with new tires or mechanical work from Shriver Tire Service. Now through the end of the month, buy four qualifying Bridgestone tires from Shriver Tire Service and receive a $70 mail-in rebate. Shriver Tire offers new tires for passenger, truck, and farm vehicles, as well as light mechanical work. Custom wheels are now available, as well as financing. Again, now through the end of the month, receive a $70 rebate when you buy four qualifying Bridgestone tires. For more information, stop by 2171 Otsego Avenue or give them a call at 622-6989.
Introducing Beat the Stigma, Ohio's newest game show, where contestants go head-to-head to uncover the underlying causes of addiction. Did you know many of the contributing factors of addiction are beyond your control? Genetics can be responsible for 50% of your risk for addiction. Addiction is not a decision. It's a disease, and it's treatable. Can you beat the stigma? Challenge what you know about addiction at beatthestigma.org.
Honey, how do you want to celebrate our anniversary?
Remember our first date?
At the Ohio State Fair? That was a blast.
The youth choir sang. It was so magical.
Yeah, and we held hands on the sky glider. That was magic.
Oh, and that sweet funnel cake. Mmm, I can't wait to get another one of those. We definitely have to go and see what's new.
And this time, let's ride the Ferris wheel.
Discover the magic of the Ohio State Fair, July 27th through August 7th, ohiostatefair.com.
The weather is brought to you by Stewart Interiors, your interior design center. For craftsmanship and quality in your next interior design project, choose Stewart Interiors. See Stewart Interiors at their new location, 520 Main Street in Coshocton, right in front of Sprint Print.
Partly cloudy early this morning, then a partly sunny with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Humid with highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain, 70%. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening. Then showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. Chance of rain is 70%. And tomorrow, showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Then showers with thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 80s. Chance of rain is 80%. Currently, it is 83 degrees in Coshocton. And we have open phone lines for the next 32 minutes. So give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind today. If you want to review anything that we talked about with Commissioner Shryock, we had a lot to cover in a short period of time, so we weren't able to take phone calls today. But perhaps sometime in the not-too-distant future, we will welcome Dane and Mary back to the show, and maybe we can take some phone calls. But I share the opinion that both Dane and Mary had, that we have a lot of positive things happening here in Coshocton. Not perfect, no question about that, but we have a lot of collaboration between entities and government agencies. I know if I start listing them, I'll leave some out, but the commissioners and the city and the city council and the mayor and our town, Coshocton, just to name a few, Port Authority. And a lot of things are happening. So Coshocton appears to be on the rebound. We have a new Justice Center coming, a new health department building, and a new EMS building. So we can talk about that if you would like. Progress, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. And we have a regular caller that's mentioned on more than one occasion about stepping into the 21st century with car chargers, battery electric car chargers. Well, we've already got one up and operating, and two more that are coming. And I don't know if we talked about it on the air, not getting a lot of use, but getting some use so far. We can only expect that the number of electric vehicles will continue to increase on the road. So give me a call and let me know what you think about that. 740-622-1560-1567 or 545-9284. And there's at least in some circles, pushback against electric vehicles. I don't fully understand that. There's a lot of politics involved there. But electric vehicles, I'm not ready to jump in just yet. There are a lot of deal breakers there. But more and more electric vehicles on the road, and we need the infrastructure to support them. If you drive a gasoline-powered car, well, you know you're going to run into a gas station at least every, what, 10 miles or so, unless you're driving across the desert in the Southwest. But electric charging stations, not quite so prevalent. So we can talk about that if you would like. The phone lines are open. And I always enjoy talking or would like to talk to owners of electric vehicles, how you like it. What some of the drawbacks are, what are some of the advantages, give me a call. The phone lines are dark, 740-622-1560-1567 or 545-9284. In the world of sports, the Cleveland Guardians yesterday afternoon, I just kind of sat back in yesterday afternoon and watched TV, and a nice win for the Guardians yesterday. Ahmed Rosario hit a mammoth three-run homer, 450-footer, and Oscar Gonzalez, rookie Oscar Gonzalez, added a solo shot, sending the Guardians to a 7-4 victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I was speaking with a fellow Indians/Guardians fans before the season began. And we didn't have a lot of high hopes for the Guardians. Thought that they had a good team, but not a great one. And the one issue that we agreed on, well, we're just going to have to hope that some of these young guys, some of the rookies, some of the ones that they traded for in the farm system, come through and become household names. And that is exactly what is happening with the Guardians. So the Guardians, a game out of first place in the American League Central, right behind the Minnesota Twins, and the Chicago White Sox, a game behind the Guardians. So it is a three-team race right now. But here we are in August, getting into the dog days of summer, and the Guardians still interesting and right in the middle of everything. So we can chat about sports if you would like. The phone lines are open, and we are just a couple of weeks away from high school football. In fact, 2 weeks from tomorrow will be our first high school football broadcast of the year. So it is back to school time, if you can believe that. Seems like we just got past graduation and school let out for the summer, but it's time for those back-to-school sales and buying all the clothes and school supplies. So those are all some suggestions of things that we can chat about for the next few minutes. Give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
What I want to question, you're talking about sports and that Watson case. Exactly. He has all these women that claim something. Now, what exactly did he do?
I have not read, let me push a couple of buttons here. I've not read any details as to exactly what he did. I have speculated, but that's all it is. So I guess I don't want to say that, but I don't know. I don't know exactly what specifically that he did. Now, these were massage therapists. Apparently, all of them were massage therapists, and sometimes there is gray area between getting a massage and getting, gratification. So my speculation, I guess, revolves around that. But I can't give you any concrete, specific thing that he has been accused of doing. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't understand it either. I mean, he's paid out quite a millions and whatever, so he must have thought he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. But some of these girls that we're talking about, well, they were so dramatic, like they'd been raped or something. I mean, you know, there's a difference there. And then a massage therapist, they're there to massage you, is right.
Right.
So, I mean, if you have a problem in that gray area, whatever you want to talk, I mean, you can be, your whole body can be massaged.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I don't want to be graphic. I think we've made it clear what we're talking about here. But you know, that's just speculation. I don't know. But because it's a massage therapist, I think we were probably talking about that gray area between getting a massage for your health and something else.
Yes. Well, I kind of wonder because it's, I mean, you not only once you hear about it, you hear about it how many times a day, I mean, this is brought up. And I didn't realize that the teams...
Choose the proven performance of the...
Whoops, sorry about that. I got a keyboard right in front of me, and I bumped it. So let's see. Where were you?
Where was I? I don't know where I was either. Maybe I bumped my keyboard. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know what the big thing is. I mean, usually some of the news that I want to hear more details about, I never only see a little glimpse, and it's gone forever. So, but this Watson thing just doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't. And there's been a lot of different steps, starting from the accusations to the charges to the settlements to Baker Mayfield getting traded to the announcement that a decision is forthcoming to the decision itself, which is a 6-game suspension. And now the latest is that the NFL... is still seeking an indefinite suspension of at least a year, plus a fine, but they would need to appeal Football Commissioner Roger Goodell or someone he designates authority to impose that stiffer penalty. League spokesman Brian McCarthy said it's still to be determined whether Goodell or someone else will hear the appeal. So what's going to happen, I don't know, but it's not over yet.
I mean, I didn't know that they had that much control over their personal life, the NFL.
They have a personal conduct policy, yeah. And furthermore, the personal conduct policy does not necessarily apply to just criminal behavior. So they don't need to prove any criminal intent to impose sanctions under the personal conduct, and there have been precedents. I can't remember the names of the players off the top of my head, but there have been precedents where players have been punished by the NFL where no charges were filed.
Well, that's, you know, like different ball players. I mean, they have these wonderful angry habits, throwing stuff, kicking things, or doing all this kind of stuff. I could understand that kind of a punishment, but it doesn't seem when they punish him, it corrects it anyway. They still go on to have their anger when they're playing for some reason.
There's a long list of athletes that have run afoul, that have been embroiled in controversy. Furthermore, I think that the majority of athletes and people in general are good people. But when you're an athlete or a professional athlete or a millionaire, a celebrity, you're going to get all the attention. I am still the Browns bringing, getting Deshaun Watson, giving him all that money with this, with full knowledge that he had this hanging over him. I am not sure if that was a good idea or not. The final verdict will be when he does get to the field, what he does on the field, and if he can win games for him, but. It was a high risk move on the part of the Browns.
Well, boy, they've sure got publicity out of it for sure.
That's
everybody
for sure. I would
that.
Much prefer that this was happening to the quarterback of another team other than my favorite one. But the saga continues. Hopefully it is about over.
Well, I hope so, too, because, I mean, I watch the guy and look at him. He looks like a nice-looking guy. I can see why he might get in trouble in the parlors. But I don't know. I just, it seems like it's over. This sexual thing anymore is out of order. I mean, if a man whistles at a woman walking down the street, he can get in trouble for that. Why? That used to be a compliment to women and stuff. I mean, you know, but it's not now. And then that one film they always show when the guy came home from the Army, or that was a Navy guy, wasn't it? He grabbed this woman and kissed her and mm-hmm. everything like this. Well, that would have probably been a suit today.
It would determine on the would be hinge on what the relationship between the two people are. But you have to be more careful today. I guess I'll phrase it that way than you did 50 years ago.
Well, I think in one respect too. I mean, this is where the women have come out. You know, like I'm a person, too. I'm not the underdog like the men are always supposed to be over the woman or whatever, you know. And I think that has a lot to do with it, too. And they're not taking any of this thing. They don't have to.
Yeah.
Which they didn't have any choice in years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I just wanted to yak about that Watson. I wish they'd get over the case.
Well, I don't know how much longer it's going to drag on. There'll be, it's something we're going to talk about for a while. He's will be suspended. For a certain amount of time, maybe 6 games, maybe longer. So it will be talked about all through that suspension, and who knows what other wrinkles are going to come out of this story as it continues.
Yeah, well, it's like Pete Rose. I mean, everybody knows Pete Rose,
yeah.
But they don't associate him with, I don't think, the ball playing as much as getting, you know, caught and doing something.
Which is a shame.
Yeah, because he was a good ball player, but he had a temper, too.
He had a temper. It wasn't really his temper that got him in trouble. It was gambling, and he got in trouble with the IRS at one time as well. I've heard very few people that have questioned his greatness as a ball player. The biggest, I guess the only criticism I've ever heard, well, he got all those hits because he played for so long. Well, you have to... you play for so long because you're good for so long. So, he still has more hits than any other player ever in baseball.
Well, I still think it's a crime that he doesn't get credit for that. I really do.
Well, he does get credit. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
He is not eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame and the rules of baseball do have a cardinal rule, and that is that you don't gamble. And it was after his playing days, but he was still a man. If he'd have just retired from playing when he stopped playing, then he'd probably be in the Hall of Fame by now.
Yep. Well, maybe he'll make it yet, because I mean, since they legalized everything and like lotteries, that's gambling. I mean, you know, everything is. Like that.
The reason gambling is taboo in baseball is because it raises the specter, the question of the integrity of the game. Are the decisions that Pete Rose is making for his team for the integrity, the best of baseball, because he wants to win, or is it because he wants the right point spread and wants to manipulate the score so he can make some money out of it? And just that thought is enough to do damage to the game itself. And so that's why it's such a big deal in baseball and in sports, and that when the things that you bet on, the outcome can be controlled by someone that's playing it. So I don't know if Pete Rose will ever get into the Hall of Fame. I've gone back and forth over the years about whether I think that he belongs there or not. Now that the steroids era, we have so many players that aren't in the the Hall of Fame, and it's because of their steroid use or their perceived or believed use of steroids. So you compare those two things, you know, gambling and Pete Rose and some of the players that that use steroids, and it causes a lot of people to rethink their thoughts on Pete Rose. I'm okay not letting him in the Hall of Fame, at least at this time.
Well, that has kept him, in focus, too, in the nation. I mean, you know, Pete Rose, everybody knows. You might say one of those other guys that got in the Hall of Fame. Well, I don't even know who you're talking about. But this does keep their name in the public eye, no matter what. I mean, they're still like, well, Ty Cobb, you know, that's forever. But he wasn't in didn't have a problem there. That I know of.
He had a reputation for having a rather sour personality. I don't know how much of that is legend and how much is true. The stories of him sharpening his spikes and trying to spike the second baseman when he and having a temper. He was said to be incredibly racist. And all around not a very nice guy. Also, he had a reputation of being a great investor and in investing his earnings wisely. So did some good stuff as well. So Ty Cobb, he's got his own set of issues as well. Pete Rose, I don't know if we're ever going to see him in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I don't know how much I guess it'd have to be the baseball commissioner. How much the thoughts towards Pete Rose banishment is going to soften in upcoming decades? I don't know, but I don't think it'll happen during Pete's lifetime.
How old is he now?
I'm afraid you were going to ask me that.
I knew.
I think he's about 80.
I would think he'd be close to there, around there somewhere.
I'll find out for you.
And. No, but even years ago, I mean, men always bet on things. I mean, their horse races, the horse racing each other, betting.
Which is
on
fine
them.
If you're if you go to the horse race, if you're a jockey and you bet on a race, then there's a problem.
Oh, well, I don't know what kind of jockeys. They didn't have jockeys then like they do now, little things, little guys.
Pete Rose is 81 years old.
Oh, well, then you're pretty close then. Wonder if he still plays ball.
I don't know. I can't remember the last time I've seen him on TV in a public appearance, so I don't know.
Yeah. I know some of these guys like Joe Namath. I hadn't seen him for a long time, and I saw him on a
TV commercial. Yeah.
And man, I didn't even know who it was. I knew the name. It's terrible what aging does for you.
Joe Namath, and he still has the same dynamic personality in that commercial, though I don't even remember what the product was.
Is it Medicare, maybe?
Yeah, one of those.
But he used to, wasn't it, hose that he was, pantyhose.
He wore it, yeah, he wore, he did a commercial for pantyhose. Was it legs?
I think so.
I remember that that commercial because it started out with the camera was just focused on these pair of legs. And slowly panned out to reveal that it was Joe Namath that was wearing the pantyhose, and he said something to the effect, "If they look good on me, imagine what they'll look like on you," or something like that.
Isn't that crazy? But it was a good commercial.
It was a good one. Yep.
Remember it after all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mike. Well, I'm going to get off.
All
I
right.
Hope your tomatoes get busy with you and give you a red one.
Yeah, I don't have any red ones yet, just those little patio tomatoes, so I'm still waiting. I bought one at the farmer's market the other day, so I'm here at the end or beginning of August. I'm still going out and buying my tomatoes, even though I got a garden full of them. So.
Yeah, I stopped on the way from voting the other day on the way home. There's a man that always has a lot of vegetables, and he puts them out. He does this just to sell them, you know. And he likes gardening. He has how many gardens? And he's 79 years old. He's out there working in his gardens, and he always has his zucchini and his tomatoes and beans and all that kind of stuff on a little bench of outside of his house there, and you can stop, and if he isn't there, you just leave some money because he has the prices. If not, you know, he's there. But, oh, I got green beans because the groundhog got mine, but boy, did they taste good. So there is a lot of good.
I have had a lot. I don't know if you were listening yesterday, but I have one cucumber plant that is producing cucumbers about as fast as I can eat them.
That's what you said. I'm going to have to try that. What kind is it?
It is called a Poinsett, P-O-I-N-S-E-T 76. I don't know why it got its name. It was the variety of cucumber seeds that last year the Victory Garden seeds that the Master Gardeners, the Extension Office, was giving away. It was some of those. They taste pretty good. They're medium, so they get about maybe 6 inches long. So they aren't huge cucumbers, but boy, have I! This has been the most productive cucumber plant that I have ever had.
Boy, I'm going to have to write that down and remember that for next year. Maybe
I don't know. The last 2 years, the Extension Office has given away seeds, so I don't know if they plan on doing it again next year or not, or they'll have those cucumber seeds. But I think I probably got some extra ones. I can see that you get some.
Oh, okay. Are the seeds real big in them then, or are they real seedy?
It's okay. It's not a problem. You do notice the seeds when you eat them, but they aren't, you know, super extra chewy.
Oh,
so.
I have to tell you, my sister got me a spiralizer. Mine had a cog broke in it and couldn't use it anymore. But anyway, and it isn't electrical or anything. It's just manual. But boy, does it do a nice job. Do you ever eat your spiralizer? Have you ever spiralized your squash?
I have not. I haven't done that.
You know, it comes out like spaghetti.
Yeah.
And, I just love it. It cooks so quick, and you can do anything with it. I mean, you know, I really like it. So I'm going to do a batch up because I got some zucchini at his place this week on the road home. So I got yellow zucchini. I didn't have any of those. So I'm going to be working on spiralizing today. Well, I'm going to get off, Mike. I don't know how much time you've got left.
I need to get to a commercial, so thank you for calling. Good to hear from you. It is 10:53. I'll be back once again right after these words.
Shoemaker Farms on County Road 16 now has their own delicious, fresh-picked daily sweet corn ready for your dinner table or backyard barbecue. Stop by Shoemaker Farms for local produce, including cantaloupe, homegrown tomatoes, South Carolina peaches, watermelon, cucumbers, green beans, zucchini, corn for the freezer, and more. Everyone loves their fresh-baked homemade cookies. Again, Shoemaker's own delicious, flavorful fresh sweet corn is now available at Shoemaker Farms. Shoemaker Farms is located 1 mile west of West Lafayette on County Road 16 and is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. until 6, and Sunday from 10 until 4.
Are you looking for a fulfilling career with great benefits? At Kraft Heinz Coshocton, you can be part of making some of America's favorite and most iconic brands. They're hosting open interviews on Sunday, August 7th from 5 to 7 p.m. at their factory location at 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. That's 1660 South 2nd Street. Stop by, grab a box of Kraft mac and cheese, and offers will be made on the spot. They're currently offering pay starting at $20.60 per hour for second shift. If you're ready to make the bacon and bring it home too, come see them on Sunday, August 7th from 5 to 7 p.m.
Every volunteer firefighter is driven by a different inspiration. For some, it's the passion for serving their community. Others want to set an example for their kids. Or it could just be the sense of family that comes from working with neighbors. What fuels your fire? You don't need prior experience to join. Find out more information by calling 740-502-3809 or stop by the Jackson Township Fire Department, 887 State Route 541 West, just outside of Coshocton. Paid training may be available for those who qualify.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Choose the proven performance of the Roundup Ready Extend crop system, featuring high-yielding Extend Flex soybeans and the exceptional weed control of Extendamax herbicide with Vapor Grip technology. Elite genetics, triple herbicide tolerance, flexibility that delivers results, backed by 25 years of innovation. That's the Roundup Ready Extend crop system, the system of choice. Extendamax is a restricted-use pesticide. Always follow stewardship practices, all pesticide label directions, and check with your state pesticide regulatory agency for specific restrictions in your state.
They say if you listen hard enough, you can hear the corn grow. It's true. When you're out in the field, you understand its challenges and what it needs to thrive. Channel Seedsmen bring insights from the field to our team of Bayer plant breeders. Their knowledge inspires our product development. From your best ground to your most challenging conditions, our products are designed to perform in your fields. Visit ChannelListens.com to see our latest innovations. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Are your creditors threatening you? Are your wages being garnished? Do you fear you may lose your home? Call the local bankruptcy attorney at Drown Law Offices of Coshocton to stop the harassment. When you file a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, your debts are eliminated, and in most cases, you can keep your home, car, personal possessions, and retirement. With proper guidance, good credit can be reestablished in only a few years. Call today for a free, no-obligation packet at 740-291-8080.
At Advantage Tire and Audio, we strive to meet your automotive and side-by-side needs. You already know us for our awesome deals on tires and wheels, but did you know we have parts and accessories in stock for your side-by-side as well? Whether you want to make your side-by-side city compliant or the baddest on the trail, we have you covered. Check us out online at tireandaudio.com, where we make financing easy, or call 740-295-9200.
Partly cloudy early this morning, then partly sunny with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Humid with highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain is 70%. Showers and thunderstorms likely this evening, then showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. Chance of rain is 70%. And for tomorrow, showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the morning, then showers with thunderstorms likely in the afternoon, humid with highs in the lower 80s. Chance of rain is 80%. Currently, it is 84 degrees in Coshocton. And, well, let's take one quick phone call between now and 11. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Mike.
Good morning.
You were commenting about Mr. Watson and his cucumber problem. In the first place, if you're that stupid, you'd go in someplace and demand more from a massage therapist, or whatever you want to call them, it's going to cost you more money. I mean, it's just like you're a target, number one, being a sports person.
Right.
You're going to get screwed. Just like, you can go clear back. Look at Mike Tyson. How he's laying in a hotel room with some girl on the bed, and they got their underwear on, and all of a sudden they had sex, and 2 weeks later she reported his rape. Now, come on. All they're after is money. It's just like, if these people want to mess with these kind, why don't they go out of the country where they actually have professional prostitutes that are licensed by the government? If you pay them up, you don't have no trouble. I mean, look at the Secret Service under Obama in Cartagena, Colombia. Down on New Moon Street, it's all full of professional hookers. You can call them to your hotel room or whatever you want, or on site. Don't matter. They come, they're licensed. They take Visa, MasterCard, and American Express and everything else, or cash. The only reason they got in trouble down there with the hookers was because they went ahead and they wanted more services, and then they didn't want to pay for them. Well, you can't do that. It's like pulling up here into a gas station
and driving away without paying.
No, pump $5 worth of gas and only want to pay for $2.50. It don't work that way. It's against the law. There, up here, you got all these people out after you because you do these things. I mean, if you're that stupid to let somebody do that, you know they're going to come after you. Even if you pay them more money, they're probably going to come after you anyway. I mean, look at the stuff with Donald Trump and that woman. It's just like she got paid big money, then she wanted more later on, and I'm thinking, boy, she must have really been something. She thinks she's worth that much. Thank you.
All right. It is 10:59, and we'll have to leave it at that. Let's check our weather forecast. Showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Humid with highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain 70% for tonight. Showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening. Then showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. And Friday, showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Then showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 80s. Currently it is 85 in Coshocton. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It is 11 o'clock.
Listen to the WTNS communication lines Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 a.m. on WTNS-FM 99.3 or online at mywtnsradio.com.